Sly of the Underworld for Nick Theodosi Prestige Cars, 185 Arden Street, North Melbourne.
19 minutes past 8 o'clock, and we're joined for the last time this year by Sly of the Underworld. Welcome.
And Merry Christmas to everyone. But of course, everyone's thoughts are in Sydney at the moment. So what have we learnt from the Sydney siege? Well, what we know is that there are mad and bad men in our society, hell-bent on murder, and it has always been so. This cannot be identified as a Muslim crime. It is a crime committed by a Muslim man who hid his violent nature under a flag of convenience, which was the ISIS flag, which is this terrorist dogma of which he, whether he believes it or not, it's just to conceal his own nature. This is a bloke who's been attention-seeking since 2001. What better way than to drape it in this way? The Norway attack, that was a right-wing Christian. Charles Manson wanted a race war. Julian Knight was a failed soldier. We had Port Arthur. In Pennsylvania, six people were shot in the last 48 hours by an ex-soldier. I don't know why we have to get ourselves caught up in the semantics. Is this a terrorist act or is it not? Is it a lone wolf or a crazy cat? Who cares? What we do know is it's a crime. It's a double homicide. It's a siege where the offender was killed. And the beauty of our system is it will go to the homicide squad and then it will go to the coroner and we will have a transparent process. We had the offer from the Americans to assist us in such matter. I don't think we need that.
No.
We don't think we need to know how to choke our own citizens and put these matters before a grand jury. So our system will survive. And it's really, really sad that some commentators see this thing through some sort of ideological prison and demean the victims of the crime by trying to justify their particular political point of view, whether that be that this is an Islamic crime or whether we should have more firearms. Do not use dead Australians to make a point. One of the things that people are asking, why didn't they just shoot him? They had the sniper in the building next door. Now, I know down here, and I'm sure with New South Wales, they can hit you between the eyes from over a kilometre. Why didn't they do it? Speculation, one, he had a backpack on. And he had also suggested that there were other devices elsewhere. In Victoria, it didn't get much publicity, but the one where the fella blew himself up in the country, he had about three different detonating devices. If he'd been knocked off his feet, the bomb would have gone off. So that would be probably in the police thinking. Secondly, traditionally, the thinking in a siege, the longer it goes, the better the outcome. You establish a relationship between the hostages and the offender, and you establish a relationship between the negotiator and the offender. Let's navigate a way out of this for you so you don't get killed. That doesn't work with terrorists when the ultimate aim is to kill people. Let me tell you that there is a shift of thinking amongst senior police on how to deal with these matters, and it will not be long before a new method is considered, and that is we do our intelligence on you. And if you're in a siege because of a domestic dispute, you lost your job, we will go as long as it takes. If you start waving an ISIS flag, you will be shot dead. And that's not a political statement. That is the simple fact. We now believe the outcome of this can't be negotiated. And the moment that happens, that person will be killed. In this particular case, the offender had told hostages, and I believe the police were aware of this, after the earlier escapes, he got very agitated and said, any more escapes and I'll start executing hostages, which is possibly why Tory Johnson did what he did in grabbing the gun, because when he came out of his sleep, he was going to kill, and that's why the police came in. You can't negotiate with someone who's mentally ill in that state of play.
Can we just talk quickly about the courage of Tory Johnson? For that young man to attempt what he tried to do yesterday, it was unbelievable, Sly.
Well, that is, you know, we use this term hero.
Oh, that's
so often. He's a legitimate hero, and we'll remember him long after we've forgotten him. And you'll notice I haven't used his name because that's what he wanted. And the terrorist groups, will love the fact that our local commentators are saying this is a terrorist act. They will embrace it.
That's what's interesting. You're so right, Sly, when you say we get stuck in these semantics and try to blame something, and if it's a religion or a religious group, all of a sudden you take the responsibility away from that one person. Don't blame it on ISIL. It's not ISIL. One man who was mad and violent did this. And when you start blaming some other organisation he might have claimed, you know, has responsibility, he then isn't responsible anymore.